You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
All right. Speaking of people who've had a long career, you ready to talk about Eminem?
Whew. Yes, let's do it.
Eminem put out a surprise new album.
Like, literal surprise. Like, my boy texted me and said, yo, the first track on this new Eminem album is dope. And I said,
You have people texting you when Eminem puts out albums?
Bruh, I mean, that's the general consensus with this album, is that people are really shocked. People were shocked that it was an album, but they're more shocked that they don't hate it.
Okay.
Especially coming off of, like, let's rewind.
Sure.
What was the last Eminem album? Revival?
Yep, last year.
That came out around presidential election? Was that November?
Like December of 2017.
Have you ever seen an album by a critically acclaimed and respected artist? We'll just keep it hip hop, fam. Shout out to Soul. Have you ever seen an album like, or even seen an album from an artist like that get as panned as Revival did?
I don't know. I mean, when was the last time M put out a project that actually wasn't pretty universally
Recovery.
Panned?
Recovery.
And that was...
What was that? 2009, 2008?
2010. I'm looking at that track listing. Okay. Is that Not Afraid? That's Not Afraid, yep. Isn't it?
Everybody!
Cold Wind Blows.
It's all right.
Did he have No Love.
Yeah, he... Listen, what he did to No Love. I know that sample is hilarious, but
that song is terrible.
He destroyed that. I'm sorry. He destroyed
it. Yeah. So anyway.
And I know where we're going this week.
Anyway. I mean, let's say this. Since M's initial peak, right, which when we did our Eminem retro, we no joke stopped at 2004. Because we were like
on curtain call, right?
Yeah. I think we just stopped at Encore.
Okay.
And we said, that's it. We're not going any further.
Yep.
All right.
And we shouldn't have.
Right. So everything since then has been, let's be candid and say, up and down. And Eminem's life has been up and down. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. So people didn't
We're
really.
On this road together. Now that's all stuck in my head. I'm sorry.
We went to a baseball game that year and somebody used that as their, like, I'm coming up to bat.
A music. Lot of baseball players did that.
And I was just like, no. Like,
God, this song is terrible.
So bad.
And it was a hit.
Oh, people loved it. M's had an up and down, we'll say, I want to say second half to his career, but really more like second two-thirds of his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just say that. And so it wasn't really until the day before when he teased the last song in here, Venom, which is from the movie Venom, right?
Oh, word.
Yeah.
All right.
and so, yeah, that was pretty much it. That song was teased, and then this album came out. And here we are. We have a 13-track, I'm saying that loosely, 13-track Eminem album with two skits and two back-to-back songs that almost feel like they should just be a two-part song, but we'll call them two songs because they are on the album.
Yeah, it's two. Yeah.
So there's 13 tracks, and one of the more... There's some really interesting production credits, and there's just interesting stuff going on in this album. So before we get started in True Clock Radio's speakers fashion and go track by track, is there anything else you want to say about this before we dive in?
No, I mean, there was literally... I think that... I'll hold off on that until the end.
Okay.
No, let's talk about music.
So we open up. You already talked about the title track, right? Mm-hmm. Not the title track, but the opening track. Mm-hmm. The Ringer, mm-hmm. Produced by Eminem, Ronnie J, and Illa, the producer. Ronnie J is best known for working with World Tag Team Champions Triple XXXTentacion. So that's an interesting pairing right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yes. Interesting. I'm sorry. Yes.
There's a beat switch for like the last minute of this, and it sounds super Eminem-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But the first main part of the beat is like, there's almost like nothing there. There's like no melody almost. It's just kind of there, right?
I think that's a theme for.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
A bit of this production on this album.
Yeah. And like right off the bat, I'll give Eminem credit for sequencing here, because right off the bat, this song makes it very clear what he's going to talk about on this album.
Yep.
He's going to talk about people who were critical of the last album.
Yep.
Who were critical of Walk on Water. He's going to make, he's going to talk about how much he dislikes modern hip hop.
Yep.
And then he's going to get meta and anticipate critiques of how people are going to say that he's mad at people who critiqued his last album.
Yep.
He pulls my least favorite rapper trick in the book, which is when you claim that people didn't get your last album because it went over their head. It's the old, it's not my fault. It's your fault. You're too stupid to know what I'm talking about routine, which I hate.
I think what gives him credence in that is the artist, the popularity of the artist that he is going at, or the current state of hip hop that he's going at, because it's, you know, it's not, there's not a focus on lyrics the way that it was when he was coming up. So it's like there's all these peen popping lean addicts who are mumbling about nothing. Of course, you're not going to understand what I was talking about.
Yeah. He takes a shot at Joe Budden, first of multiple. I don't know. This song is an entire and just total no for me. I think it's bad.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. After all that loving appraise I just gave of it, how do you feel about The Ringer?
It's cool. I don't like it. I mean, I don't mind it, because my expectations for new Eminem music are so low. That when he doesn't hit that low point, I'm like, all right, this is about what I expect from Eminem in 2018. Like, let's own the fast rappity raps, because you're about to in a couple tracks. You're about to own it, own the minimalist production. I think the two biggest critiques of Revival were the hooks and some of the content, like when he was going at Trump.
Well, the beats weren't that good. I mean, there was a lot of criticizing of this album.
But if you get away from that, you get some semi current production.
And we'll talk about that.
And you do what you do. And I think people don't hate it, because the expectation is so low. It's like you use the I overthought my last album. He did say that was a reason why people didn't like it either. That was one thing that he owned. He said he overthought it. If that's the thing that you're going for, like, then he says it right off the jump. Like, let me just say the first thing that comes to mind. Like, well, then you should probably do this more, because clearly it's working for you. So I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I think it's cool.
Interesting.
I'm not going and saying, yo, I need to hear The Ringer, son.
Right.
But like, you know, when I listened to the album, I didn't cringe. I didn't think it was trash. Like, and it was rap. The way he, as somebody who is a rappity rap connoisseur, way he strings words together is still really, really, really good. When he gets that pocket, he was hitting a lot of different flows flawlessly. Like, from a technical aspect, you gotta respect that. You have to. So I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
Okay. Speaking of interesting production credits, we get Eminem on a Mike Will beat with Greatest.
Oh, that's a Mike Will beat?
Mike Will and this guy named Backpack, who's done some other stuff he did like a Ray Shremmer song back in there, whatever. So who knows where this is from? I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, okay. Credits make this kind of sound interesting. And I'll give him credit. Like, I think this beat is a step above the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's amazing. There's a handful of Mike Will beats on here, actually. I don't think any of them are great, but I think this is a step above. And I think this is a good tempo for Eminem too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're right. Like, he can technically adapt his flow to fit almost any tempo, but that doesn't mean that he is the most at home or even sounds the best on any tempo, right? And so, of course, he's gonna like do what Eminem does, which is switch flows up and do crazy cadences and rhyme schemes, and that's M. And he's in full Eminem mode on this song. The hook is terrible. It's atrocious, which is true of most hooks that Eminem does nowadays. They're just bad. And I think this is better than the last song. I kind of laughed what that Ja Rule got dredged up and gets caught in the crossfire here, but you know.
Hey, Ja Rule still has the best Eminem diss.
Yeah, probably.
Loose Change is still the best Eminem diss. Searching for Bobby Fischer. We talked about that on the Eminem Retro.
Yeah, whatever. We did.
Go back and listen to that.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not the worst song I've ever heard, but it's not great either. That's what I thought. What'd you think?
Again, it was cool.
Okay.
It was cool. M is kind of, what this does is this reminds me of where J. Cole could possibly go or Big Crit could possibly go if they don't let more producers in.
Oh, boy. What do you mean by that?
You know? Well, you know, a knock that we've had on both of those guys is that they produce for themselves too much.
Yeah.
And so their stuff kind of gets repetitive after a while. Kind of bringing new people in will give their music some life. And I think bringing somebody like Mike Will in is actually kind of smart.
Yeah, I kind of wonder. I don't know. I think this is like a bigger. I have a whole list of things, obviously, as you might imagine. There's a bigger problem with Eminem making music right now, which is like I am not convinced that he. I don't think he actually respects modern like hip hop and the way it sounds.
Clearly.
And so I don't think he knows what to look for when he's listening to modern hip hop beats from producers. Like he has a different idea about what a dope beat is than what the current generation does. And he has not made that leap. So like just because you go into the studio with Mike Will, unless Mike Will is telling you what beat to rap on, and I'm guessing that's not how that conversation went because there's a picture of them earlier this year. It's Mike Will with Eminem and Dre in the studio. I'm guessing that didn't end with Mike Will saying, here's the beat you're going to rap on, right? He didn't pull a Pharrell with the Roots.
Right.
So if that's the case, then like it's not just so much that like M is like struggling to connect with his younger fan base, but like he clearly doesn't respect the way that hip hop, the direction that hip hop's going in. So like how are you supposed to like if you don't actually understand why modern hip hop beats work for the people who they work for, if you don't get the idea that like, yeah, sometimes the beats are a little like repetitive because it's all about the melody of the person who's rapping now, as opposed to like, if you don't understand why hip hop has changed, then how are you supposed to pick new beats? Do you know what I mean? And that sure. To me, that problem is all over this album.
I can see that.
I think a good example of that is Lucky You. With Joyner Lucas, who I had never heard of before.
You've never heard of Joyner Lucas?
No. Have we ever talked about Joyner Lucas on the show?
No, that doesn't mean you haven't heard of him.
I talk about most of the hip-hop I listen to on the show.
Okay. Yeah, Joyner Lucas is like Eminem's son. Like, if we're talking about Machine... Like, okay. So, look at Machine Gun Kelly, G-Eazy, like all of these white rappers... Pretty much any white rapper post 1999 has been compared to Eminem.
Yes.
Joyner Lucas, I believe, is of mixed race. I think he's half black, half white. But like clearly on this song, it is evident that he studied the Eminem blueprint.
Oh, yeah.
And even just the way he's rolled out, like he's been one of those hip hop is terrible. Look at me. I have lyrics, guys.
Oh, he had the I'm Not Racist song.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, Eminem.
Oh, man, don't do that.
Oh, God, I'm reading the lyrics to this, and oh, boy.
What, I'm Not Racist?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, he's not.
Because he said it.
He said it on the record, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not racist. I have black friends.
I have black friends. I have five of them.
So what I was going to say is like, speaking of like people who can flow over modern beats, like I think Joyner Lucas on this kind of gives M a little bit of the blueprint for what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Which is go ahead and make the most complex, crazy rhyme schemes and intricate lyrics and all that stuff on your verses. But his bridge and chorus have melody.
Yeah.
That's where hip hop is. And M's never shied away from singing, but it's always been very Eminem. Right.
Yeah. It's almost like it was almost like tongue in cheek.
Right. He doesn't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind most of this song.
What did you not like?
So first of all, a song I should point out produced by M, Ella the Producer, and Boy Wonder. So I appreciate it. So first of all, I didn't mind. I actually liked Joyner Lucas' part. I appreciated that for him. And again, I think this is something that M could learn a little something, which is that just because you can rap fast doesn't mean you have to always rap fast.
Mm.
So like, if you're gonna do like 4 or 8 bars where you're trying to break the world record again of how many syllables you can pack in, cut your flow in half for the next 4. Like, do stuff, right? Otherwise, it's logic, right? Mm. You run into his problem. I don't know. So what I didn't love about this is, of course, Eminem has to do a beat switch and a change because that's Eminem in modern day. But what really struck me is like, I'm just listening to this and these are my notes, is like, he's so mad. He is so mad about these new rappers. It's kind of funny to me. Like this long verse of his is basically, get off my yard, kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear get off my yard hip hop. I get it. You're really mad, Eminem. What else you got?
I mean, and he addresses that in what, the next skit, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. So what did you think? How did you feel about Lucky You?
Again, it was cool. It was cool. I appreciated the, I'm about to use a 90s term. I appreciated the lyrical acrobatics.
Ooh, lyrical acrobatics. Eminem featuring, who can we get on that? Razzcast. No, basically the original Four Horsemen.
Absolutely would do a song called Lyrical Acrobatics. I appreciate it. I think it's like, it doesn't sound like they overthought this album.
I think that's true.
It's two concepts. Well, three. I'm going to rap. I'm going to respond to everybody who had something negative to say. I guess this is 4. Respond to everybody who had something negative to say.
Everybody.
I hate these kids.
Yeah.
And I have girl problems.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's it.
So that's 4. And Eminem in 2018. Do you want that, or do you want, you know, hey, Trump?
Like, he's orange.
I don't want Trump bars from Eminem in 2018. I don't.
Do you want Trump bars from anybody?
No.
Mm.
I don't want you to be political because Trump is... That's another thing that goes to my point that we talked about earlier. It's just like, Trump is such an easy target. Everybody's just kind of jumping in on him. And it's like,
he's the right target, but you could be more creative about it.
There's more stuff wrong that you could talk about in our culture than Donald Trump.
We get it.
He's horrible. We get it. What else is there? Because there's a lot.
Mm.
So that's what bothers me. It's not that they're not. It's just that everybody's ganging up on this one target. And like, that is their, well, I did my homework. It's like a group project and it's the one guy who like let somebody borrow a pen and he's like, all right, I want my credit. We got an A. We did it. It's like, did we do it? What did you do? That was an easy target. Like, go after something that's, if you're so and against the system, like, you know what's not against the system? Talking about how trash a president is. So I'm good. But Eminem, yeah, this record's cool.
Okay.
It's cool. I'm not mad at anything I'm hearing so far. I'm not mad at it. I much would prefer this Eminem. Like, I would much, because this has been his career, aside from the Get Off My Lawn, dissing people, rapping really well over.
Is he rapping really well?
Yeah.
Because I think he's, it's interesting, right? It's like, it's this whole notion of, I think he's technically rapping really well, but like, what is he even talking about?
I would say that was the case for his last album and the Big Sean record and stuff. I don't hear that on this album. I don't hear mindless nonsense. I don't hear connecting words together for the sake of it. I think that's going to be the running joke now on him because he's done it before at great length, but I don't really hear nonsense on this album.
Okay.
I did the first time I heard it because the record we're going to get about, like the record we're going to talk about, there's a clear distinction, but
yeah,
not so much on the rest of the album. His content doesn't bother me. He has something to talk about that's actually on his mind and on his heart. So he's going to talk about it.
It's true. So we get, of course, it's an Eminem album. So he's going to have Paul Rosenberg doing a skit.
Mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
All I'm going to say is Paul is the voice of reason and Eminem should listen to Paul. But that is not how Paul has ever been portrayed on an Eminem album, because Eminem still kind of thinks of this like he's 15 years old, right? Paul is the adult in the room and I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
Right. Eminem. Yeah. Anyway, Paul Rosenberg is the voice of reason. But spoiler alert, he does not listen to Paul. So,
clearly, yeah.
we get Normal, produced by S1, Lone Star, Swish, Illa the Producer, a whole bunch of people. Oh boy. I believe you were saying about M has girl problems?
I don't, like, this is my problem with this Eminem album.
Mm.
These girl records are, no.
They're problematic is an overused and almost like mockable word at this point. But like, there's some problematic stuff happening here.
I didn't even get that far.
Like, honestly, this is no diss. You and I, considering how much we have, this has been one of the changes to Clock Radio Speakers over the past couple years. We talk more about mental health now in a positive way than we ever did before.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eminem needs to talk to a therapist. Like, for real. I'm serious.
I mean, like, we're just now getting here? Like, I mean, that was clear in 97.
Sure, but like, this is a song that is nominally about the fact that he just wants a normal relationship. And like, the chorus is about, like, first of all, he's calling them bitches, and then he asks why they have to be so extra. And then, like, he's already, like, hating women, like, right off the bat. He has a messed up relationship with women, clearly.
Absolutely.
And it's just 100%. Like, I kind of appreciate that in a sense he's trying to, like, I don't know. I think he almost thought, okay, I'm going to try to be like straight on Eminem and not have these like crazy, like love the way you lie type relationship songs, which are problematic.
Love the way you lie. Whew.
Yeah. But then like you listen to these songs and it's like, nope. He's still talking about, you know, busting her jaw with a Louisville Slugger or like, nope. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Like, and if you talk about, if you like wonder why do all my relationships have to like involve crazy, like wild swings of violence and everything else. And why is there drama and everything else? It's like, dude, like you should talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
I don't really love this beat. I think there's an interesting beat switch at the end that I actually kind of like.
I didn't even get that far.
The beat switch is kind of nice, but the rest of this, no, I'm good.
Okay.
How do you feel about this?
I don't.
Okay. It's not good.
No, I'm good.
All right. Then we get the M Calls Paul skit where he's trying to be meta. Guess what? He's going to, of course, go after everybody who said something bad about Revival. That's basically what the skit's about.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, we get Stepping Stone, produced by M and his longtime collaborator, Luis Resto, who has worked on Eminem stuff since, I don't know, the past 15 years, right? For a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, you know this is a traditional Eminem beat. It's a different kind of tempo. You got the moody synths. Like, all that stuff is there, right? This sounds to me the most like an older Eminem song than I've heard anything, at least by the beat, like when this song first starts off. So, what'd you think about this song?
Again, it's cool.
This is the good. I made it big, but D12 didn't sort of confessional song. Which is kind of interesting.
Very much so.
I don't know. I think the way that he views D12 maybe isn't the way that the rest of us view D12, which kind of makes sense, right? Like if you think back 8 Mile, which is semi-autobiographical, right? Like
semi,
right?
You're being nice.
Sort of. Wait. Do you think it actually is autobiographical or do you think it's...
Yes.
Well, I think that they definitely paint over some stuff. Like, that's what I mean by semi-autobiographical. But you know, like proof, like in Eminem's eyes, proof is like, you know, the greatest rapper of all time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, whereas proof was fine. Rest in peace to proof, right? But proof was fine. Everybody who listens to this who's in Detroit is just...
I'm just picturing
somebody gets out like the old typewriter and they're like, "Dear Mr. Beats."
If that's your real name. Oh man, yeah.
Like, but all I have to say, like, I think D12 means something different to him than maybe it does us. But like,
sure,
it's an interesting song. The hook is awful. It's just terrible. The sample, and then he's kind of singing. It was like, nope. I could totally, because of the content and the tempo of the beat and the beat itself and what Eminem's rapping about, I would be surprised if like traditional old school Eminem fans like this song.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm good.
Mm.
I'm good. The hook is so bad. It's so bad. it's terrible too because the sentiment is good, right?
Yeah.
But
it's cool.
Okay. You're not getting your typewriter cranked up for Dear Mr. Beats?
Nah.
Okay, cool.
I just tell you on the show. You're good.
All right. You ready to talk about Not Alike?
Yes.
Featuring Royce the 5'9".
Yes.
Produced by Tay Keith.
Yeah. It's,
Ronnie J. And Eminem. Oh, boy.
What did Eminem do on it? Is that like Beyonce the last writing
part,
songs?
Like the last part.
Okay, okay.
Because the beat switch. Yeah.
The beat switch? Okay, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, not only did Tay Keith... Has somebody like asked Tay Keith about this yet? Because like, do you think he knew that like all the beats that he's made are being made fun of? And do you think he cared because the check was just so large?
I don't even think it. I think it was. It sounded like Em and Royce did a Look Alive freestyle, and decided I don't want to put this out as a free freestyle. I want to put this on my album. Let's just get Tay Keith to remake it and add some changes in it. I don't think it was any deeper than that.
Okay, because I heard this and I was like, oh, wow. Like, he really said, I want Look Alive, but just make it different.
Yeah. I mean, but that's no different than when the Neptunes were first popping, there was a bunch of variations of I Just Want to Love You.
Kind of, except like this song is largely about dissing modern hip hop. So like to do that over a beat that is so derivative, I took that as part of the concept.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. I can see that.
So I definitely want to hear your opinion, but like, is the idea here, okay. So Royce and Em are going to grab what they consider to be these new school cookie cutter beats. And then they're going to mimic to chorus that one of those Migos records the kids like, cause it's stupid. And then we're going to prove how awesome we are. Cause yeah, hip hop rapping. Like, was that the concept of the song? Cause I was like, both insulted, but also like, this just validates everything that every like preconception I had of where Eminem is in his career up to this point. Like I hear this and I was like, okay, yeah, I was right.
I think that's M's doing. I think Royce has went out of his way to like embrace the younger generation. But I think that Royce has he idolizes M. And I think that he won't ever, if that's what M wants to do, then Royce is like, all right, then that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't think that was it. And Royce just wants to, I think at the end of the day, Royce just wants to rap with his friend. So I think M was like, yeah, we're gonna show these kids. And Royce was like, all right, this is what we're rapping to? Cool.
Right.
Because Royce bodies this. But of course he does. Like, of course, it's great. I might have said this before, but I'm just going to say it again. As technically impressive and as amazing and as incredible as Eminem can be, I don't know a better technical rapper better than Royce the 5'9". I don't. He does everything excellently when it comes to rapping. Everything. Like, he's a better version of Eminem than me, or to me. Like, everything that M does, Royce does it a million times better.
I think... Yeah, we'll never really know with Royce in terms of what his career could have been. Now he has made himself, actually, considering where he was 10 years ago even.
Yep.
He has made a hell of a career for himself.
Yep. Absolutely.
But, you know, that like 99 to like 02, 03 Eminem, that's one of those runs that's just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, yeah, it's interesting. M mimicking the Migos Bad and Bougie thing is just so stupid.
I didn't catch that until I watched the video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know what they were doing.
You're right. It's like, because it, like, I don't know. Look, I'm not gonna try to defend the Migos as some like paragon of like modern hip hop or whatever. But like, say what you will about Bad and Bougie, but like, sure, they're talking about stuff that like Eminem doesn't care about. But like, the Bad and Bougie hook actually makes about as much sense as you might expect it to make. Whereas like M is just like, I'm going to be so clever because I'm going to rhyme words together that don't have anything to do together. And I'm going to show these meddling kids. And I'm just like, shut up. That's actually it right there. I'm listening to this and I'm just like, M, stop it. Just stop it. The beat, the way the beat imitates Look Alive is so bad. I can't tell you last time I heard something like this. Is there an example of this where it's not even like, oh, I'm grabbing this because it's really hot. But like, It's the same. It's the same beat, but worse. Much worse. I don't understand it. I was just baffled.
Baffled. Come on, Doc.
What?
Come on. Man.
How did this is?
You can't be baffled by this.
Really?
It makes it. No, you it makes this, sense.
No, because I hear this and I'm like, who let this out of the studio?
Eminem. Shady Records. Paul Rosenberg.
Dr. Dre.
No.
Dre is. Dre and M are the executive producers for this album.
Yeah, so just maybe, like Suge Knight executive produced all those Death Row records.
What are you trying to say?
Dre did not hear an ounce of this. Dre didn't hear none of this.
Dre would have been like, no.
Yeah, but Dre's like, all right, how much does this cost? Eminem's putting out a new album? All right, cool. Green light. Put my name on it. Let me get those points.
Right.
Cool.
All right, I'm going to go back to lifting. Let me know when there's something interesting going on.
Yeah, just arms. Nothing else.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Normal's the only song that I just don't like. Everything else is cool.
Oh, not a like is so bad. So bad.
A lot of good rapping on there. I'm good.
I can't get past the beat. Mm. Do you like the beat to Look Alive?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. Yeah, I was weird. All this stuff is, all these Take Heath beats, this is nothing but DJ Paul and Juicy J.
Sure.
All of this is 3-6 Mafia. This whole run that people are going on right now, this is nothing but, like, even with Who Run It going viral a few months back, like, all of this is DJ Paul and Juicy J.
And yet, that Juicy J beat on the Drake album is just not that great.
I like it.
It's fine. There's no knock to it.
Nah, when the bass comes in, you said on the show, like
the bass, but the drums are all wrong.
I wish he would use some different drums.
Yeah,
the drums are the biggest.
He should have just called Take Heath.
Yeah, but so yeah, I say all that to say I like this Take Heath run, even though it is a rehash of stuff that I was listening to in 2000. Still like it.
Yeah, the beat that I need I need Drake to jump on right now is I need him to jump on that Who Want the Smoke Lil Yachty Take Heath beat, because that's the best of these Take Heath beats that I've heard that it hasn't really like blown up yet.
Mm.
Who Want the Smoke is totally vintage, like 3-6 Mafia, like eerie piano, but yeah.
Mm.
So you're okay with Not Alike. All right, well.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Okay. Kamikaze. Produced by somebody named Tim Subi and Eminem. How do you feel about this?
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I got a text message. Which record is this?
Kamikaze.
Is this the one where he flat out goes at Joe?
Let's see.
Or is that Fall?
Fall is, I think, Fall is the one where he goes at Joe.
Okay. Kamikaze's. Oh, nah.
It's awful. I think it's the word you're looking for.
I'm good on this one.
There's a decent 808 in this beat, but that is about the only thing that's
Sorry, to go back to Not Alike. I actually like the cuz we skipped over the whole with this. Listen, people really like this Machine Gun Kelly diss.
Oh, we didn't even talk about I haven't heard it, but I was doing them. I made the mistake of clicking on the lyrics on Genius and I was like, "Oh, you know what? Like, okay, I need to hear this."
Yeah, he's going directly at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to it twice. I don't hate it. I'm not mad at it. I actually like the drum switch on Not Alike.
The switch at the end isn't bad.
I like it.
It's not bad.
I like it. I actually like the R. Kelly. I like that wordplay just because I know who you are. There's no subliminal. I know who you are, Kelly. And when Machine Gun Kelly made that comment about Haley was underage. See, stuff like that is dope to me.
Yeah.
It's dope to me. But okay, so Kamikaze, I'm good. Sorry, I'm good.
So let's talk about another song that's getting a lot of controversy. Fall. Mm-hmm. Produced by Mike Will and Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring Justin Vernon, which is one of the weirder lineup combinations I've heard in a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a pretty boring Mike Will beat.
Are you shocked?
Yeah.
Do you not remember when everybody got excited that Just Blaze was producing on Recovery?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And then like those Just Blaze beats we got were Just Blaze impressions of Eminem beats?
Yeah.
This is the same thing.
Yeah. This beat is from it's apparently Justin Vernon did a session with Mike Will and his guys. D- and they made a bunch of music together, and this kind of came out of it. So this wasn't exactly like Eminem and Justin Vernon meeting in the studio or anything like that, which explains some of the controversy that came out of this. So he goes at, let's see, Charlemagne. He goes at Budden. And then he goes at Tyler. Where do you want to start?
We can just say, all right, Charlemagne, because Charlemagne's an easy target, and everybody goes at Charlemagne. So there's that. Let's start with Budden.
All right. I mean, the line about the closest thing he's had to hits is smacking like women. Okay. All right. I get that. but like, okay. I think this would be like, I don't know, to me, like Eminem's whole like approach to the to his music right now would be like if you sat there like and like if you like were a popular rapper and you sat there on like a Reddit forum and you waited for like everybody who said something negative and then you immediately started coming up with some crazy lyrics about how user 534 whatever is terrible. Like, that's, what are you doing? Who cares?
Remember, this has been the discussion that people have had within GOAT conversations in sports and music and anything.
Yeah.
Where if Jordan was around in the social media era, if Tupac was around in the social media era, would people look at them, like, how would they respond?
Right.
This is how they would likely respond.
Hmm. Maybe. So I don't know. I mean, so Budden gets it. Academics gets it. What do you think? So you were saying before, Budden might be doing a little something.
Yeah. So he kind of teased, which kind of, it looks stupid now because Machine Gun Kelly just put his record out. But Joe last night on, first he was like, I'm not responding. I'm not coming out of retirement, I'm good. But last night on his IG story, he's playing songs from the unreleased Slaughterhouse album. Then he plays Slaughter Mouse, which is his record about M. Then he plays Sing for the Moment, which is his freestyle over M's record. Then he plays Blood Pressure. He plays Jadakiss. And then that was it. And today he's playing more Budden records. And in one of the captions of the IG story, he said studying. And he played the Eminem record. He kept running it back. The record that was dissing him or whatever. So it insinuates, and he's kind of talking about it on his podcast, of course, because this is good content for him.
Oh yeah.
But I think the tease, like, you know, for Budden fans, we were like, uh-oh. And then Machine Gun Kelly's like, just it's where you're about to see a fight happen and people like nose to nose, shoulder to shoulder, they're talking, but nobody throws the first punch, and then somebody just walks up out of the crowd and hits somebody and he starts the fight. That's what Machine Gun Kelly did.
So I consider sort of Budden at this point, like, he wasn't a rapper dissing him, he was a like media person dissing him. Like, when, and it wasn't even dissing. Joe Budden was discussing his music on his podcast.
It wasn't even a diss.
Like, and he said he didn't like a song.
He didn't like a song, and he didn't like the fact that it was going at Trump, and he said it came off as contrived. But he never said anything negative about the album. That was academics. That was people, because it was the general public saying, yo, this is terrible, Joe. You have to say something about your man. And Joe was putting it off like he was dancing around that for weeks. And the most he said was, it's this one song. I don't like it.
But M can't even have that.
Nope.
This is almost like this is the Nicki Minaj thing all over again. I think this is like where we're at with social media.
Yes.
When you get to a certain level of fame, you aren't interacting on a day-to-day basis with as many regular people as you used to. It's all industry people or yes men. And then what you get via social media, because it amplifies everything, it's either these people are telling me I'm the greatest person alive. And everybody else is a hater. And you see the world in this black and white, like, it's the same exact thing. Is this just where every major artist is at this point?
Some of them. I think some people utilize social media and understand that it's just part of the game. But I do think there are people who are really, really, really insecure, or some people who don't like it. And when they don't like it, they get off social. They do healthy things like get off of social media, or they make phone calls and talk about things privately. They don't really respond, you know, to social media on social media. But some people who have the yes men around them, this is what happens. And again, I think for M more than Nicki, because Nicki came up, Nicki grew up with social media. And I mean, like her career, like career wise, when she was going up, social media was going up.
Right.
M, on the other hand, by the time social media was a thing, he was already like not the guy.
Right.
And social media has turned up and been a lot more abrasive in the last 3 years than it was previously.
Oh, sure.
So I think those things play into it for sure. Okay.
Now, Tyler.
Tyler.
What the hell? Come on, man.
I more than the comment, more than what was said, Tyler's one of your kids.
Never mind that. Like, if you're going to critique someone from this newer school, why on earth would you say anything about Tyler? Who's only one of the most creative artists in hip hop right now.
Exactly.
And it's not even like he critiqued him trying to pull, like, it's funny. Like, someone in his camp said, we have to censor that word.
Mm-hmm.
But he still left it on the album. So like, so inevitably when Eminem, when somebody gets Eminem to try to walk that back, if he ever does apologize, do not take Eminem seriously, because this is not the first time he's used a word like that. And it won't be the first time that he's apologized after the fact.
Yeah.
And why? Because Tyler said he tweeted that he didn't like the Walk on Water record. Man, yeah. M feels some kind of way about that Walk on Water record.
Imagine
if Jay got this mad at people after the Sunshine video. You imagine?
Yeah.
Actually, thank God social media wasn't around for the Sunshine video. Jay might have never recovered.
Different time.
But the Tyler thing is so, I mean, going at him in the first place is just dumb and shows how thin-skinned you are. But really? You're going to go after him with a gay slur? Like, really? After everything that you have done in your career.
Yep.
You performed with Elton John. You did, like, no. He's still M.
Yes. That's why I don't believe a lot of this. Yeah.
Right.
No. That wasn't the I'm not racist, I have black friends.
Right.
I'm not homophobic. Look at me perform this song with Elton John.
Right.
So, nah. I'm good.
So there's some lines on here, and there's some lines in a previous song where he's making references to people who have ghostwriters. Did you catch any of that?
I think so. I think I heard something.
Yeah. Trying to figure out who he's going after.
Probably Drake.
Probably.
Anytime you think of ghostwriters in hip hop, like Drake, we've said that Drake is the punching bag for ghostwriters.
Which, I mean, M has written for people.
Right.
And also, when M talks about, like, rappers who are like bad, who aren't good at rapping, like, all you need to remember is that, like, he was the guy who pushed Bizarre. Right?
Don't do that.
Anyway.
You don't ever encourage your friends to do things that they probably shouldn't do? Or are you the friend who says, hey man?
Everybody needs a friend who says, maybe you shouldn't do that. And Eminem needed one of those friends for these next two records. With Jesse, who is Jesse Reyes? That probably makes me sound
clearly,
old.
Clearly, she is Bruno Mars in 2009.
Oh, you think so?
And what I mean by that is, you know, Nothing on You. Like, she was making those stimulus package records, hoping that somebody would pick them up.
Oh, you think these are stimulus package records?
Oh, 100%. Far and away. Easily.
I can't say I'm a fan of her voice. We get Nice Guy, which is produced by Eminem and S1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Good Guy, produced by Eminem and Illa, the producer. So, how do you feel about these?
I actually like the beat to, was it Good Guy?
Yeah, the beat on Good Guy, it's a really interesting sample.
Yeah, that beat is dope. That's about it.
Again, yeah.
Here's what bothers me about these M records.
Right.
These M records about women. Like, he's not talking to a woman.
No.
He's not talking to women. Like, he's talking to the mirror about women. I don't know, but he's just very aggressive. And it just, no.
He comes off as this, like, kind of this, like, entitled, like, I'm nice to these girls. Why aren't they nice to me? Which is, whoa.
I agree with that.
Time out. And, of course, wouldn't be an Eminem album if we didn't blame women for his problems. Do some casual slut shaming while we're at it. These songs are terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
I agree.
Okay. And then we end with Venom, the title track from the new movie that's coming out, produced by Eminem and Luis Resto.
I'm good. I don't like hearing songs about movies for soundtracks.
This is whatever. It's fine. I feel like he has a type of soundtrack song that he makes.
What else is, what other
soundtracks? Well, he did. Remember, he did Southpaw. What else was it?
Is this like the Lose Yourself stimulus package?
I wish this was the Lose Yourself stimulus package. This is, I don't know. This honestly is just like a generic Eminem song to me, where it's like, it's almost like he's like doing improv and he's like, all right, give me a word. Someone's like Venom. He's like, all right, here's my Venom song. It's a little too true, isn't it? All right, Eminem. Kamikaze. He's like, all right, here's my Kamikaze record.
Oh, man. Kamikaze, Yananazi, yeah.
This album is terrible.
No,
it's not so terrible. Bad. The beats are so bad. And I don't know. Like, you're right. I would say rapping wise, he's doing better than he did last time. But like, I don't know. It's music, right? The beats kind of have to do something. They should. Maybe a catchy hook or two?
Not necessarily.
Really? Not for M's hardcore fans, maybe?
When have you heard... Okay. How many great Eminem beats have you heard? Like,
I was thinking
Let's just pull up instrumentals. How many great Eminem beats? Lose Yourself isn't a great beat.
I like the beat to Lose Yourself.
It fits with the concept of the song.
Lose Yourself as a beat is miles beyond anything going on here. So here's what I think M had the Bass Brothers, who apparently disappeared off the face of the planet, right? But he had the Bass Brothers, who were wildly underrated. And then he had Dre during Dre's third prime, second prime. Depends if you want to, how you want to count the first half of his career, right? But one of Dre's primes, one of the greatest producers in hip-hop history. And then, because Eminem is so popular, he gets to that place where his own sound becomes the popular sound.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's producing for other people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Dre is not at Dre's level anymore. And clearly, because Dre doesn't even produce anything on here. And Eminem doesn't have the popular sound anymore. And like, so yeah, it's not surprising. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, outside of like when Dre was at his peak and when he had the Bass Brothers, I don't really have evidence that Eminem knows how to pick good beats.
That's my point. So why are we shocked that the production on here isn't crazy?
I'm not shocked, but I'm also not going to ignore it.
But if I'm somebody who will judge an artist against themselves and what Eminem has done post recovery, this is a win for me.
I'm trying to figure out if this is better than Revival.
Yeah. What do you mean trying to figure out? Yes. What on Revival was not trash?
I actually didn't mind that Cranberry sample.
We're not doing this.
You're right. You're right, because I'm looking at the track list for Revival right now, and I do remember how painful Revival is.
But bruh. Painful.
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 So fine. This is run-of-the-mill bad. But it's Eminem. He can do better. Man. And I think if all he's going to do is complain about people who didn't like his last album, I don't really... Why do I ever need to hear about that?
But I think this is moment music. This is where we are right now, where the greats are making moment music. I like the fact that he didn't like people saying his album is trash, so he made another album.
About that,
I'm cool with that. It doesn't bother me, because though that is what the topics, that's what one of the topics is, the primary themes of the album, like, he's still rapping really well. I'm cool with that, and the beats aren't terrible. They're not what I just heard. There's no walk on water on here. Oh my god, these records are so bad. Revival was really, really bad.
It was terrible.
So because that's not this, I'm already considering it a win. And in the eyes of the general public?
Yeah, I'm stunned by how much people are liking this.
And he's doing what, 200K?
200K first week. Quietly, kind of not great numbers for Eminem.
Nah. This was legit like a surprise.
Yes, it was.
This is a legit surprise. I think to do a legit surprise,
I'm looking that up right now. Looking that up right now.
It couldn't have been much more than that.
You don't think so?
Nah, it was like 350 or 3 or something. It wasn't a lot.
It debuted at number one, definitely, but this one will too. Let's see. Why is it so hard to find what he did first week? I guess that should tell me everything, huh? A commercial. No, he did 267 first week.
See? So to have a Trump rollout, the Donald Trump hip hop stimulus package.
Don't do that.
And do 260. It's a thing. I was listening to Incarcerated Scarface the other day and was like, wow, I'm in the car rapping.
Yeah.
Guess who's the Black Trump? Like, dang. Yeah, he was the guy. So to go from that to 200 with no anything, a complete surprise.
I mean, that's the size of Eminem's fan base. We've got it now.
But I'm cool with that. I don't think those are bad numbers.
It's good for him. I'm glad. Like, and more importantly, I think like I do not like this album clearly, but it, as you pointed out, and I'll agree, his fans, his hardcore fans, really do.
Yes,
but
they do.
I don't know if that's enough for Eminem. Like in this era of niches, right, where he can complain about these new school rappers as much as he wants. But first of all, there's a whole school of rappers who've come up who idolize this man and who have mimicked their rapping after him.
Clearly.
And secondly, because of stuff like Genius and battle rapping, there is more of an awareness around this niche than there was 7 years ago.
Yes.
Now, it's not 99. Right. There is not in even 99. For, I mean, really go back and listen to some, like, I don't know if he wants to pretend that rapping has always been at some incredibly high level. Like he should like really rethink that. Right. But just because like a certain level of lyricism isn't like the only way that rap should get put out, like, which is kind of this idolized view of the 90s that some of us old heads have sometimes. Right. Where we sit there and go, oh, in my day, couldn't put that out, you know? And it's like, well, actually not really, but just because that's not the only way that hip hop sounds now doesn't mean that he should try to figure out how to embrace this. But then I guess he wouldn't have anybody to yell at.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What does Eminem sound like if he doesn't have somebody to get mad at?
Yeah, I'm curious to know where M goes from here.
Sure.
Does he go back to those revival type albums? Did he learn his lesson, or was he just lashing out at everybody and we're going to get that again?
All right. I think it's just like, to me, it's like if M is good with sort of the success that this album has, then he has indeed learned the right lesson, which is this is what his fans want. They don't want as much of the over the top stereotypical Alex the Kid records. What they want is him rapping really fast. They want him rapping incredibly intricate, like sort of rhyme schemes. They want him to rhyme whole sentences, all the classic Eminem stuff. That's what they want. So like, if that's where he goes, that's fine. But like, there are going to be people who do not like this. And so like, the question is like, is he okay with that existing in the world? Like, does he have to be number one to everybody? I don't know. But we're going to find out, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we are. I think that's
about, I mean, I was going to say, so overall you are much higher on this than I am.
100%. 100%. I don't hate this album by any means.
I hate this album.
I have heard.
I mean, Revival might be like a negative something out of 10. So this is like a 1 out of, I mean, like, this is not good. Like, there's not a single song on here that I will ever come back and listen to out of choice. Ever.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
I don't disagree with, there's nothing on this album that I'm going to pick out and say, yo, that record is fire. I'm going to throw it on a playlist, or I'm, you know, again, I'm probably not going to listen to this outside of after the show's over.
Right. But you're right. Like, the lesson that he got from the last album was no more Rick Rubin and no more Alex the Kid.
That should be a lesson to hip hop.
See, keep you say
Rick Rubin
that
off of your records.
You say that. And yet he saved Yeezus. So shout out to him.
First of all, that is an oxymoron within itself. There's no saving Yeezus.
Such a dope album.
Nah. Define dope.
Oh, I love it. Measure? 5 years later and we're still arguing about that album.
We're just gonna argue about that album forever.
We're gonna be old men doing whatever the equivalent of Skype calls is in 2050 be like,
right,
Yeezus is still
yeah, when Doc does like Yeezus 2 and all that stuff, or not, when Kanye does Yeezus 2 and all that, yeah, it'll be a thing.
All right, man, anything else you want to talk about this week?
I think we're good. We went way further than I thought we were going to go. I think we're okay.
I think we're good. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's Clock Radio Speakers. Please hit us up, and I'm sure you will let me know why I'm very wrong in this Eminem album, but I would love to know if y'all are feeling the album or not. Anything else to promote, Armand? You got a show coming up, right?
Yeah, it's the 29th, though. We got time.
You're like, well, let's not talk about it yet.
Yeah, it's just, you know, yesterday's post was announcing the announcement.
The movement is moving, people.
The movement is moving.
All right.
No, we're good.
All right.